Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, September 4th, 2014, and tonight's show, a very important show. I'm doing the release of my latest book. It is called The McCanny Wing Generator. That's a trademarked name, Distributed Energy National Grid, World Energy Project, with a supplement, The Myth of Alternative Energy. So that's kind of a mouthful, but basically what I'm releasing in this book is the design work for what I have termed the wing generator. Now, I have to set this apart from what you would traditionally call wind generation because of the tremendous diversion from reality, from anything real that is workable in the wind energy design world. What I have done is from the ground up, from the top down, I have completely redesigned what you would typically refer to as wind. So I don't even call it wind generation, I call it wing generation. And you're going to see that as you understand this. Now, alternative energy has gotten a black mark over past years, and the reason for that is because it was targeted by industries, by science, if you want to call it that, by very bad engineering. Was it intentionally bad, or was it simply misdirected? Who knows? But all I can tell you is what has been put out on the market as alternative energy is simply garbage. It doesn't work, it doesn't solve the problems, and it uses up resources, valuable money and energy and engineering and every other material resource, resources that should be put into a positive direction for things that really work. And so this is a difficult thing to present because of the tremendous number of misconceptions that have been promulgated in the energy industry, much of this supported by industries who have no intention of putting alternative energy on a world or national scale. And so at any rate, once again, I'll read this title. The book is available on my webpage, finally, and this has been an effort. And once you understand the history of this, this goes back actually many decades in my attempts to get this system worked out into the normal channels of venture capital and getting the system put online. You'll read about that in the book. And so what I'm doing now is I'm presenting it directly to the public for licensing to make it very easy for small-scale homeowners, etc., to produce their own energy, very inexpensive. And you're going to see why all of the so-called alternative energy solutions to date have really not been solutions. They've been money-making scams, basically, I guess that's the best word I can think of it, to make a lot of money off people's desire and sometimes need to have alternative energy. It does not have to be that expensive. And so what I'm showing is an extremely inexpensive solution down to the local person. There is a licensing involved, and that is very minimal, and it's simply more for recording than it is for making money. The whole idea is to control the design and prevent large corporations from grabbing patents and burying them as they have done in the past. And so this is a way to distribute the information under what we call an open architecture. An open architecture is one that is available, and by doing this, I'm preventing large corporations from getting this information, burying it, and preventing the public from having it. So you have to understand how patents work, how patent protection works and how to use them, but also get around them through what is called public distribution of information. And so it's a, you'll read about this in the book and how it actually works. But like I say, it is designed to make it extremely simple and efficient for the small homeowner, small industry. And this is something I want to say too. I could take the tack of, I'm going to be greedy, I have a design here that's really going to change the world of alternative energy, and I could want all the money for myself. I am not going to do that. This is a distributed design that is going to be set out into the public domain for anybody to use. And so once this hits the streets, I know for a fact that people are going to take this and run with it, and we're going to have tremendous innovation. I would say within 10 years, we will be seeing large-scale wing generation. Now remember, I don't call it wind generation with a D, I call it wing with a G, wing generation, because it's a completely different concept. There are so many misrepresentations, misconceptions about alternative energy, including solar and wind, that I had to simply change the name so it's not even associated with traditional wind generation. Wind is the only serious alternative for alternative energy. And the reason is it blows day and night. It's every place. Solar has made some progress, but it's extremely expensive, and it only works during certain hours of the day. There are certain parts of the world where it's just not practical, and it's very expensive. Making those little solar cells and then wiring them into grid works. Now, I use solar myself, I'll be honest with you. It is an important component of alternative energy. But once you see how the wind world works, the wind generation, the wind energy, in the wing configuration, you're going to realize we can produce far more energy than we will ever be able to use. What we have to do is break the energy cartel. Break the energy cartel. These are the bankers. These are the top-down people who own water. They want to own water around the world. They want to own energy. And this started back in the early 1900s when Westinghouse purchased the first electrical generation system from a guy named Nikola Tesla. And that's a whole story in itself. Now, I'm going to do a little side note here right up front, because I, for many years, have been working with Tesla technology. And remember that Tesla's original plan for the Tesla Towers was to collect energy, not distribute it. And that's a big myth that's being promulgated around the world, that somehow the Tesla Towers were designed to distribute energy. That is a fallacy. He designed them originally to collect energy from the ionosphere and then distribute it on a normal electrical wire grid system. That was the plan. And let me explain, just to be very clear about this. In around 1904, Tesla had developed the first diesel and heat-generated electrical energy generator systems and the distribution system based on alternative energy. Remember him and Edison. Edison promoted the DC current world. Tesla promoted the alternating current world, and that's the one we use today. All of the equipment you see out there in the grid, the transformers, the diodes, the shunts, everything that we have today is simply the design of Tesla, the original design. And let me also make a quip here about the so-called smart grid. The smart grid is a stupid idea, and we don't need it. The current grid as it is currently built is a good system. the way you protect your provide security for your national grid system is by having distributed energy production. And that goes all the way down to the home level. So if a so-called EMP or foreign attack, terrorist attack, or natural event occurs, then this will be covered by distributed energy, the ability of people locally to produce their own energy on a small scale, on a medium-sized scale, and then also on a national grid scale. The wing generations, you will find we can build probably 200 of these installations around the country and provide all of our energy needs. Now, this is an amazing fact of the new generation systems, the wing generator, the wing generators, which is the item which I am promoting in this book. And then also the way to hook it into the grid, the way to distribute the energy, and the way for you all the way down to the household would use the energy. This would open up the field for electric cars, because we would no longer be burning nuclear or coal to power automobiles electrically, which is a terrible plan to burn coal or nuclear or number two fuel oil or natural gas, and then distribute that, convert it into electricity, distribute it through the grid system, and then the person at their home thinks that they're running a green automobile. It couldn't be anything farther from the truth. It's a terribly inefficient, terribly costly energy and pollution-wise system. So we have to get away from that and provide true alternative energy, the wing generation energy, which you're going to find converting wind into energy very efficiently and have it distributed also down to the local level where small generation systems are producing electricity on a local level. As I said, many aspects of this design is something that is unheard of in this industry. They are lightweight, all plastic, no metal. There's a myth that things have to spin fast to work in the wind generation. The scalability of these systems to go up to extremely large systems and become more efficient as they get big. The bigger they get, the more efficient they get. That's the opposite of the three-blade wind generation system, and I'll go into that a little more detail. They're ecologically sound. They're aesthetically pleasing to the eye because they're beautiful in a large-scale production energy situation. They are actually pleasing to look at. They're expandable in three dimensions. They're much more efficient than their predecessors and will offer a solution to literally solve the world energy problem. Here is the core crux of the issue. Go out and look at any alternative energy project or product on the market today. Go look at it and ask this one simple question. Can it produce a real definitive change in our energy profile? In other words, can it produce enough energy to first of all cover its cost of installation, and secondly, on the long term, to provide enough energy where it will start to replace the coal, the nuclear, the number two fuel oil, the natural gas generation. Hydro is a very good form of electricity, but it depends on rainfall. The Hoover Dam is sitting there dormant because there's no water. The lake bed is dry. No energy coming from that. But you know what? At that same location, the wind blows every day. Every day the wind is huffing and a puffing at the Hoover Dam, and no electricity is coming out of it. I was just there a short while ago. Okay, so what we need? Okay, hydro is not a good solution. What if you could build for a hundredth of the cost a wing generation system that would provide three times the energy of the Hoover Dam? and maintain that day and night all year long. Now you have a wind generation system, a system that will consistently produce energy, and this can be distributed. If it's not windy in New York, it's windy in San Diego. If it's not windy in San Diego, it's windy in Florida. We distribute the energy production, build enough of these to cover our needs, and then put this wind generation system on a medium scale on farms and ranches, put wind generation on the local, at the local home level, and also storage at the local home level, where we have batteries in the home about the size of your hot water heater. It would become an appliance, just like your stove and refrigerator, and then start using energy efficiently. Get away from the idea that people have to have a SUV to drive to work every day, powered by gasoline. You know, there are other countries that have solved this problem in different ways. In Brazil, you cannot buy a gasoline-operated automobile. Not there. In fact, you can't buy gasoline. It's all run on ethanol. Brazil is the largest ethanol producer in the world. It exports. It's the largest exporter of ethanol. And this is not mixed with gasoline. This is pure, straight, hardcore rum. High-test rum is what it is they're putting in their cars. It's a perfect ecological solution to energy. You are converting solar energy through sugarcane into the plant. You ferment that, you refine it, and you get alcohol. In the automobile, you burn the alcohol. It returns to water and carbon dioxide, which the plant needs to grow again. And so it's a very efficient conversion of sun into energy that's usable. Brazil, about 15 years ago, started this program on a small scale out in the countryside, just to show you the growth, the exponential growth of a very well-planned industry. Brazil began with a small number of farms that produced sugarcane, and locally at the farm, they produced the alcohol, which was then shipped in raw form. The alcohol was shipped to the market. But with the profit that was made from these installations, they then invested in more land, more sugarcane production. Within 10 years, the nation was energy independent and no longer used gasoline, no longer depended on international oil. They became so productive. Now, Brazil is a big country. They can produce a lot of sugarcane. They became so efficient that they are exporting. They are the biggest exporter of pure ethanol in the world. They're shipping it to China. They're shipping it to other countries. Okay, so that is an amazing cycle that is very efficient. It's ecologically sound, and it makes a lot of sense. The wind system, now let's look at what causes wind. There is a misnomer in the world of meteorology that wind is caused by the sun's light. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The sun's light, if we depended on that for wind and any kind of storm activity or energy, we would have a very mild, just mild movement of air. And mainly that would be at what we call the terminator. The terminator is the line where the night and dark side of the earth meet. We would have a little bit of eddy current there. Okay, but the real source of wind on planet Earth, on Jupiter, on the other planets, look at the amazing wind systems on Jupiter. Do you think that's caused by sunlight? I don't think so. How about Saturn? Saturn is more energetic than Jupiter, and it has wind systems that are much faster systems than Jupiter. and it's much, much farther from the sun. Looking, if you look back at the sun from Jupiter or Saturn, it's going to look like kind of about a dime, it would look like a big star. If you looked at the sun from Saturn, it's going to look like a bigger than average star. And so the sunlight reaching Saturn is minimal. So do you think that the sunlight causes wind? You would have to be absolutely more than brain dead, stupid moron to imagine that that is what is causing the wind systems there. It's purely electrical because it's driven by the electrical conditions that are in that part of the solar system. It's the same way with planet Earth. Earth's wind systems are driven by electrical conditions in the outer space. And this is how it works. The solar wind comes out from the sun. It splits. The positive particles go one way. The negative particles go the other way. And that creates a magnetic field. Coupled to that magnetic field are the upper ionospheric wind currents. These are movements of current belts that are up in the ionosphere. Around the equator is the electron belt. It goes westerly. Around the upper northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere, we have snake-like bands. We call them the jet streams. They're the ultimate source of ionic movement in the atmosphere that drive our wind weather systems. It's electrical. It's coupled to the geomagnetic field below. It's coupled to the plasma magnetic field above. These are electrical currents in our atmosphere. They are driven by electrical conditions. But of course, NASA and the boys and the people in meteorology don't know anything about this, so they just keep on pretending that somehow wind is caused by the sunlight. What a ridiculous concept. And I mean, just looking at the other planets, you can see that their winds are not caused by sunlight. No way. So what makes you think that Earth's winds are caused by sunlight? Now let's look at Venus. Venus is a lot closer to the sun, but it has no currents at all. It doesn't have any wind currents at all. Zero. Why is that? Because it doesn't have a moon, it doesn't have a geomagnetic field, there are no winds on Venus. It's closer to the sun, it gets a lot more sun. Shouldn't there be a lot more wind on Venus? According to the meteorologists, the planet Earth, there should be. But reality says something different, that the wind is generated by electricity. So wind is really a visible form of electricity. Okay, so wind is another form of electrical energy on Earth, but it's a moving air. The whole idea of using Tesla power, which I was talking about a little before, it's very dangerous. Okay, what does Tesla Tower do? It collects energy that basically is stored up in the ionospheric capacitor around Earth. It drills a hole electrically, and I explain how this works in my weather book, The Principia Meteorologia, the Physics of Sun-Earth Weather, and it was first described in my Atlantis to Tesla, the Colburn Connection book. But the Tesla Tower basically uses a Schmidt trigger, that's an electrical device, to create a pattern of a voltage, and what it does is gives you a very rapid change in the voltage on a wire from a battery, and then it creates a pulse, and that goes into a Tesla coil, which generates a high voltage, a rapidly changing high voltage pulse, and this can be converted into an alternating current. Alternating current electric field, which is driven up onto the bell of the tower. What does that do? It changes the atmosphere above the tower so that the dipoles in the in the atmosphere, the dipoles, which are small electric double pole molecules in the atmosphere, start flipping with that alternating electric field. This basically drills an electrical hole. Once you start moving these dipoles in unison, they become conductive. In the non-aligning state, which is their normal state in the atmosphere, they become a dielectric and very good insulator, and that's what prevents the ionosphere from discharging down to the surface of the Earth. When we have cloud systems, that acts as kind of like a electrical finger pointing up towards the ionosphere, and that's why we get lightning and electrical activity down through cloud systems, all the way down to the water, or if they're over water, or down to the land if they're over land. And that's how they create hurricanes and tornadoes, is because they ionize the air at ground or water level, and that air becomes swoops up in that vortex motion going upwards is what creates the funnel or the eye of the hurricane, the funnel of the tornado, etc. Okay, but with the Tesla Tower, what we're doing is changing unifying the dipoles, which are in the atmosphere. So they alternate, they flip back and forth, up, down, up, down, up, down. And to continue doing this all the way up to drill all the way through the atmosphere to the ionosphere, you have to add more and more power. It's like any antenna. You have to add more and more power as you do this. So it takes a tremendous amount of power, and that's why Tesla wrote in his contract with Westinghouse that he would use as much energy as he wanted, and then once he was done with his experiments, he would put the energy back. Well, Westinghouse never figured out where was Tesla supposed to get the energy to put back in the grid system to fulfill his contract. Well, he soon found out it was from the Tesla Tower. He was not distributing energy, he was gathering energy for free. That's why Westinghouse sent the boys out to tear down the Tesla Towers and never allow them to be put up again, and that's why they created the myth that the Tesla Tower was to distribute energy, a myth that is promulgated until today, continuing today. Okay, so at any rate, the problem with Tesla power is that you're hooked into the ionosphere. You're hooked into an incredibly powerful source of energy that's outside the planet. And on very short notice, this can discharge and change. And so your grid system, once you start the flow of energy, you can't just stop it. There's no way to stop put a switch or turn a switch on and off or whatever. And so your grid system is going to be very susceptible to basically EMPs that you're generating yourself through the collection of Tesla energy. That's why I turned from Tesla power to wind power and generating electricity, because wind is much more predictable, it's much safer, it's much more controllable, it ranges between energies we're very comfortable with here on the surface of the Earth, and it can be done on a scale that can produce all the energy we need in the world and more very easily. Okay, so at any rate, this is kind of an explanation of where this comes from. Wind is our best alternative for powering the world. And so the one question you ask with any power system, alternative energy, can it produce enough energy to make a difference? And with everything you look at, this, like I said, look at any energy distribution system, product, invention that has been funded for research or whatever, and you can all of them, you can simply say no. It does not provide energy on a scale that would be useful on a worldwide scale. We know how much energy we use every day, from coal, nuclear, oil, and all the various forms of energy that come from those, natural gas, etc. And we know exactly how much energy that is. So we know how much energy we need to produce to fire up our industries, to keep everything moving. we know how much energy has to be produced. We also know very exactly the amount of waste that occurs in energy. How much energy is actually wasted in transportation, in inefficiencies in the production of energy, in distribution, in the misuse at the site using incandescent light bulbs. The 100-watt light bulb is horribly inefficient. 95% of the energy goes up as infrared radiation, absolutely useless heat that does nothing, absolutely nothing, to produce light, the end effect that we're looking for. Three-phase motors that are underutilized in a factory production scenario, you would be better off putting a number of small motors in series and then using only the motors you need to produce the amount of energy that is necessary. Many of the industrial three-phase motors that are in production today are very underutilized, and in that state, they're very inefficient. And so there's another way to configure these so that we're using three-phase motors for maximum efficiency so they're better matched to the job they're performing. So those are the two big sources of use of electricity: lighting and three-phase motors for industry. So at any rate, the issue here is that we have to understand both the production of electricity and the use of electricity. I also, just a personal note, many people are working a 40-hour job paying just interest on a house that's very overpriced and interest on an automobile. So not only in the world of, and so what are we doing? We're burning up a lot of energy to run companies that are producing useless work. Look at what many people do. They go to work, they write emails, they attend meetings, they don't produce useful work. I worked in many, related to many companies, related to telecommunications through my career. In most cases, about 80% of the employees literally produced no useful work. They were management, they were some kind of middle management, and I know they want to have a job, but the actual reality is that only about 10 to 20% of the employees actually produce useful work. It's a really it's a sad but true tale. But the point is that all of these people are driving back and forth to work every day and really not producing anything towards the bottom line of what is needed in society. So there are many other aspects to efficiency. Understanding my book, The Diamond Principle, talked about the need for society to develop new norms, that they had to develop the ability to communicate, to spend time with their families. This is something that's totally lost. People get up in the morning at 7 o'clock, they eat a quick breakfast, they run off, they spend all day someplace, they come home, they watch TV, and then they go to bed. And on the weekends, they have 2 days to do clothes, do shopping, and Monday morning, they're back at it again. We just went through Labor Day, which celebrates everybody's going back to this 40-hour work week scenario, which is extremely costly in terms of natural resources. And, it can't continue. It simply can't continue. And really, what is it producing? Is it producing a better life? Are people happier? No. As I said, people are simply paying interest on loans. And so that's a reflection of the international banking community control on your lives. They're paying for overpriced insurance that many times won't pay out. The whole scenario of modern life is very distorted. But at any rate, let's get back to the central point of this new book. First of all, I'm going to tell you the price tag. It's $49.95. It's a fairly pricey book, but this is not your average book. Gee whiz, let's read it and I'll feel good. This is a book that has serious information in it, all the way from the local scale for people to build a wind generator at their home and put in a wind generation system. But it also goes up to the scale where we can be building these on a national scale for power generation and distribution simply from wind energy alone. So the book is $49.95 and allows for a licensing, as I said, and this is more for individuals as a registration. And the reason we're doing this is to keep some type of record, basically, of what's going on. Because we want people to feedback. Say you build a wind generator. And 2 years into its use, you find that, you know, if I put this kind of a string here, or if I put this kind of a cord here, or if I put this kind of a pulley here, or a bearing there, or whatever it is, the thing works better. We can produce that back and feed that back into the system so that everybody can have access to that information, make those modifications, and improve the systems. So it's a way of keeping this information flowing back out to everybody, a feedback loop of positive information. Okay, so at any rate, and also, like I said, this is to prevent large corporations from taking over and burying or somehow dominating this information, so that, as they've done with auto patents, etc., that would create more efficient automobiles, they bury them so that nobody else can use them. You know, it's like the kid that when you were a kid and somebody, you were playing ball and somebody didn't win the game, so they took their ball and went home. That's what the auto industry and the oil industry are doing. They're monopolizing, basically. So this is meant to break those monopolies. Electric automobiles should be the norm. Within 10 years, I would love to see a high percentage of electric automobiles, purely electric. And, of course, it's always good to have some kind of a generator on board to power up the batteries just so you can get home. But electric power, if it's available, will, for the average person in a metropolitan area, is really the only way to go. And more efficient, smaller vehicles. I grew up in, everybody knows this, I grew up in Minnesota. And fighting the winter weather on the freeways, and every day having them plowed, they have to plow all the roads every day, you know, sprinkle salt, is just insane. If we had smaller vehicles, we could put plastic tunnels over the freeways and never plow them at all. Just drive around in electric cars within the tunnel systems that are basically just covering the freeway systems of the cities, and much smaller vehicles. And, it would be a very, very practical way to, in the end, save a lot of money. Have the plastic, basically tunnels built over the street systems, use small electric cars. It would free up the traffic. I mean, we wouldn't have the serious congestion and all the difficulties in the winter. The northern climates have been fighting this winter problem for a long time. But those are just little aside notes on the way the future could change once we start using electrical transportation on a large scale. Electrical airplanes on a small scale. Electrical airplanes are becoming practical. You might think that sounds pretty crazy, but I've seen these. I'm very impressed. And for this all depends on battery technology, which is another topic. Battery technology, I foresee creating a new wave of battery developments in the near future. The ability to store energy both in the home and your automobile, electrical energy. The current liquid cell batteries are really pretty amazing. The dry style batteries, that are used in, say, electronics, etc., they are amazing. But we're going to see developments here probably, I would say, in the field of capacitors. Supercapacitors, I believe, are going to be the way of the future. But who knows where the developments will come from that will actually make it to market and be wide-scale usable. But battery technology has always been kind of like, as John Moore said, we were talking about this, the weak link in the scenario. But the whole point of what I'm doing here is bringing the cost down for the individual to put wind generation at their home. Now, if you can imagine a lightweight system, let's imagine, first of all, the average person's home usage. If you include your lighting, computers, television, washing machine, refrigerator, etc., not including heat or air conditioning, just the more commonly used usages of electricity. Let's say that you're using a certain amount of electricity per day. With a very moderate home system, you can produce that much energy on average on a daily basis. The wind, as I said, is blowing all day and all night. And so if you have a battery system, you would be storing this up. You have an inverter system. The inverters are very good, the ones that are on the market. I use a couple different ones myself, and very efficient at charging up the batteries and controlling the batteries. And the whole idea is that you store up sufficient energy. You would have it in your car. You would have it in your battery pack at your home. And the idea of storing energy at the home is a very important concept related to this. Now, you would not have to do that, but it's a way of buffering the energy so that it can be used. But at any rate, I'm going to read a little bit here from the book, and just to give you an idea of what you would see when you get the book. It's called the Mecani Wing, W-I-N-G, not D, but Wing Generator, and that's a trademark name, Distributed Energy National Grid World Energy Project, with a supplement, The Myth of Alternative Energy. This is the cover. I'm going to read from the cover. This text presents an overall design and plan for a world energy system based on a new, highly efficient wing design. It presents a national distributed energy system which uses our current electrical grid, no smart grid needed. Now, that's very important. We do not, in fact, the smart grid is more to keep track of what you use than it is to protect you, the end user. There is a myth that the smart grid would protect from an EMP. And I've illuminated this before in my radio show. It's a complete misnomer being promulgated by people who either are scam artists or don't know what they're talking about. Because in an EMP, electromagnetic pulse scenario, that pulse is moving down the wire and through the system at the speed of light. By the time your grid work determines that there's an EMP event taking place, it's already past you and racing down the wire to the next grid station. So there's no way you can respond to it using computer-controlled algorithms or whatever, nor is there any way you can send a signal down to the next station, because that EMP is already in front of you, beating you, literally working at the speed of light, going to that next station. So a smart grid cannot do anything for an EMP, whether it's natural or man-made. EMPs cannot be, there's no such thing as a smart grid that's going to do anything with an EMP electromagnetic pulse problem. Okay, now I'm going to continue reading. So the last comment that I read from the title page, no smart grid needed. Prior misconceptions are discussed, such as the need to burn fuel for large-scale energy production and the function of highly efficient wind generators for national energy. Okay, so just going to read a little bit from the rear page of the book. It says here, this is a reading from the rear page of the book, and it's in e-book format, of course, but it says, I call the 20th century the Black Century because its hallmark was filthy polluting energy, the wholesale destruction of natural resources for false economies and war machines, and unbridled greed. It was blackened further by international corporate rule that held profit as its only measure of success. Governments of the world were united under a single banking structure that helped the few greedy leaders in each country to see fabulous wealth while keeping the vast majority of humans in destitute poverty. The CIA, the police force of the international European banker devil-worshipping cartel, worked behind the scenes creating havoc and terror wherever its criminal hands touched. As we moved into the 21st century, the control of water became the target of international greed. Water and air pollution were sanctioned by the government agencies that were entrusted to protect them. All aspects of human life in the modern Western world became shrouded in governmental agencies controlled by revolving door agents from industries they were designed to monitor. Solving the world's energy problem is at the heart of solving every major problem on Earth. I'm going to read that line again. Solving the world's energy problem is at the heart of solving every major problem on Earth. The current text is a well-documented and well-designed system which uses the current electrical grid system in its current form to distribute energy created by a completely new breed of large-scale, high-efficiency wing generators. I have altered the name not to be confused with the myriad of design called wind generators. The new wing generators can be implemented on a large scale to replace one-for-one the coal, nuclear, and other large-scale electrical generation facilities. They can be built as well as medium on ranches and farms for profitable wind generation systems, all the way to local individual houses for personal power production. The concept I call distributed energy also provides for security of the power system rather than having centralized power only, which is susceptible to EMP and other forms of attack that would neutralize the national energy system. Okay, so that's it continues, but that is from the rear page of the new book. This has been a monumental effort, and it's something, now if you look at my past history of books dealing with the comets, look at the past books. Planet X, Comets and Earth Changes was the first book written probably almost 15 years ago, which is based on the books that I wrote in the late 70s, finally getting to the point where the public was ready to see this information. The second book, called Surviving Planet X Passage, is a supplement to the first book. The third book, still selling quite well, all of these are, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection. The fourth book, called simply the weather book, or actually the title, Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather. The fifth book, called The Diamond Principle. Okay, now all of these books, of course, are in ebook format. The next book, simply called Comets, and that book was distributed at the time when the comet activity of a couple years ago was going on. Calculate primes, the solution, 2,500-year-old mathematical problem, the oldest problem in the world, the order and rhythm and directly calculating prime numbers. That book came out in 2007, March of 2007, and it's still a very popular seller. People are understanding this all over the world, the direct calculation of prime numbers. The next book called, I already talked about comets, the next book called Water which talks about the international control of water, and then the most recent book prior to the current book, Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit. That book creating quite a bit of a stir in the secure computing world. Those are the first 10 books of the series, and of course there's the DVDs, the CDs, and other posters, etc. The book that's currently being released is the 11th book and is extremely important because it goes directly at the heart of one of the world's major problems, energy. It doesn't do it with a little fluff and puff. It does it in a way that we can completely solve the Earth's energy problems for now and into the future, for basically forever. Get rid of oil, nuclear, coal, other forms of alternative energy, and do it on a scale that is actually very reasonable. Let me talk a little bit about a 500 megawatt wing generator. Now, remember, I'm not calling these wind generators, I'm calling them wing generators, not to be confused with the wind generation garbage of the past. A system like this is big, but it's a very powerful system. It's something that with the current wind structure that we have in the country, and these can be placed offshore on barges. Now, let me tell you one of the major benefits of this system. First of all, it's very lightweight. Second of all, it's highly efficient. It's going to work at low wind speeds. Now, what does that mean? That means that, okay, let's take the efficiency graph of a current wind generator. At 30 miles per hour, most wind generators, the three-blade wind generators that you see in the field, whether small or large, are rated at 30 mile per hour wind. As soon as you drop down to about 26 miles per hour, that efficiency gets cut in half. It's 50% efficient at only a 4 mile per hour difference from maximum efficiency, and it drops off exponentially from there. So when you're down around an average 10 to 15 mile per hour wind day, these systems are producing possibly one-tenth the amount of rated electricity. With my system, the efficiency curve is almost flat at the top, so it's going to run at nearly 100% production down to the 10 to 15 mile per hour wind speeds. This is something that is it's just beyond crucial if you're going to be dependent on wind energy. You can put these out in the ocean on large barges. There's no need to put down the immense bases. You could do that. Plus, this system can be adapted to the old three-blade towers. You take off the three blades. I don't know what you're going to do with those. Maybe carve it up into furniture. Make furniture out of them. The generators that are up there are pretty much worthless. 1.5 megawatt generator. Why would you have that there when you can put up a 10 or a 20 megawatt generator on the same tower and have it run at a high efficiency down to 10 to 20 mile an hour wind speeds? You're still generating 10 to 20 megawatts of electricity instead of 1.5 at peak efficiency, running down to a tenth of that at normal average everyday wind speeds. So highly efficient, very low weight, very versatile, and all of the heavy equipment is on the ground, at ground level, or if they're out in the ocean, on a barge where you can get it, the heavy equipment on the ground. This was one of the major aspects in developing the systems. As you can see, once you read this book, you're going to find out that I have cured all of the major problems that exist with the wind systems that are in vogue today, as you would call it. And once you learn this, you're going to realize that the public has been had. Do you know that Belgium has actually outlawed the three-blade wind generators from their country because they don't want the financiers to be had by wind generation. Now, isn't that a sad state of affairs, that the wind generation systems that have been presented all across Europe, across Northern Europe, across England, they now realize that they have been bamboozled royally, have put all of their investment money into something that won't work, and now they're mad. They should be mad. But what I've done too is for a small additional investment, you can take those towers, use the towers to put up alternative wing generation systems, and now you can produce the power that you really should be getting, and cast an evil eye to those people that scammed all of these countries based on NASA's three-blade wind design. Okay, so in summary, today, September 4th, I'm announcing the release of my 11th book. It's called McCanny Wing Generator. Then the subtitle is Distributed Energy National Grid. So it's not only the wind generation systems, the wing generation systems, but it's how to incorporate this into the national grid, the World Energy Project, which allows the world to adapt this, and all the way down to the home user who can build now a wind generation system at their home. Let's not call it wind. Let's call it wing generator, so it's not confused with the old generation systems. $49.95, available only at my webpage, the only place my books are available, by the way. And this is a book that is going to basically change the world of energy. Now, clearly, some of my past books have stepped on toes. The Breaking RSA Codes for Fun and Profit was not exactly popular in certain circles, as was the Calculate Primes book. The Weather book, the Planet X, Comets, and Earth Changes book, all of these books go very much against the grain of what is being presented to the public. This book steps on toes on probably the highest level around the world, the energy mafia, controlled by the World Bank, which basically is the cause of wars, the cause of all of the trouble we're seeing in the Mideast, at least partially, and there are some other problems there too, social problems you might call them, or sociopath problems. But the other issue is that the energy issue in the world now can be solved. So I apologize for the higher price of this book, but when you see it, you're going to realize that this is a high-content book that is going to literally solve the world energy problem. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. The webpage, jmccsci.com. That's JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.